For this lesson, Father, long we will understand it. We'll understand what we need to understand, and maybe you're here this morning and you're going through difficulties and pain and suffering. Father, long we'll understand why. So keep that wonderful thought in your mind and allow it to encourage you. It is a good morning. We're very happy that you're here. It's a great blessing to be here this morning. To any visitors that we have among us, thank you for being here. I'm going to start off with a story here, true story, and it's not my purpose to be morbid, and hopefully it'll make a little bit more sense as we go. Many years ago, when I was a deputy sheriff, a young deputy sheriff, I was working the night shift, and I get a call to go to Bradford, Arkansas. A young man at home, I think he might have been about 12, he called and said his mom and his sister hadn't returned home. Now, this is late. It's got to be after midnight, somewhere in there. I don't remember a lot of those kind of details. And I knew right off that, you know, a responsible young man, and you can kind of look at the home, a good, nice, healthy home life, and he said they're not here. They should have been home 4 hours ago. And I asked where she worked, and he told me, and I drove the next couple towns over where she worked. On the outskirts of town, she worked in an accounting office. Had three large windows, and as soon as I pulled up, now it's got to be one or so in the morning, and I see her truck on the left side of the building, and I knew something was wrong immediately. And to make a very long story short, we ended up making entrance into the building, and this woman, she had her 10-year-old daughter with her, had been murdered. And there's a lot of just horrific details with that. I thought the 10-year-old daughter was also murdered. She'd been beaten so bad, I thought she was dead. But come to find out, she was so close, and we called a life flight and took her off, and she ended up surviving. Very terrible situation. Now, what made it hit even harder for me was to come to find out that this family, they're members of the Lord's church. And, you know, terrible tragedy, terrible events. You know, this young mother was murdered. And this daughter, this 10-year-old, had to witness that and then be beat almost to death. What we're talking about here this year, of course, is making an impact. And these last several months into the month of August, we're talking about looking out with our faith. Now, if you're serious about looking out with your faith and you're sharing it with the world around you, one of the main questions that you're going to get, if there is a God and He's all-powerful and He's all-loving, then why do bad things happen to people? Especially innocent people. Now, why is there evil, pain, and suffering in this world if God does exist? And it becomes an unjust accusation against God and a reason for many people not to come to Him. Now, you don't have to live very long to know that pain and suffering, it's happening all around us, right? You just look at all the suffering around the world, all the pain that people are going through. You know, wars and starvation, natural disasters, all of these things. You don't have to look long or very hard to see all of that. So then the question becomes, why? If God is all-powerful, Revelation 4 and verse 8 says He is, you see, every person in the world will eventually experience pain and suffering. So why doesn't God, if He's all-powerful, stop this pain and suffering? He has the means, the power to stop it anytime He chooses. The Bible, here in Luke 18 and verse 19, the Bible describes God as being all good. Now, wouldn't a good person want to stop suffering? How can God be all good, all powerful, and yet still allow people to suffer? Now, in order to answer this question here, and let me ask you, I don't think that this is an unreasonable question, by the way. Now, I think we need to be willing to seek and find the answer, but I don't think that it's a terrible question to ask. You know what? I think God wants us to ask that question and then seek and find the answer. Gideon and Judges. The book of Judges here, Gideon, he asks a similar question. We read that Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press, and the angel of the Lord came to him. And the angel said to him, "Gideon, you mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you." But Gideon says, "Whoa! If the Lord is with us, then why have all these bad things happened?" You see, that's a question the skeptic has asked for many, many years. It's nothing new, by the way. Acts chapter 7, Paul was preaching there in Mars Hill. Part of the people that he was preaching to were the Epicureans. Now, Epicurus was about 300 years before this sermon here in Acts chapter 17. What he taught his followers basically was there's pain and there's suffering in this world, and if there is a God and he's all-powerful and he's all-loving, then there shouldn't be pain and suffering in the world. And since there is pain and suffering in the world, that is proof that there is no all-powerful, all-loving God. That's part of the people that Paul was preaching to there, that and the Stoics. So the argument, the thought process, there's nothing new in it. Right? It's at least 2,300 years old, that type of thinking. And so that becomes the question, right? Since there is suffering, we know that suffering occurs. We know that people go through pain. That God is either, number one, not kind, not loving, not good, not all-powerful, right? Because if he was any of those, then we wouldn't have suffering. That's how the argument goes, right? And this argument's been used by every skeptic and atheist and agnostic for thousands of years. Nothing new. They say there just can't be a God. There's just too much suffering going on, too much pain in the lives of individuals. So the question is, does the existence of pain and suffering and evil prove that God doesn't exist? That's the question. Right? And of course, right up front, let me tell you the answer is no to that. But we're going to look at some of the evidence. There's a lot more evidence, right? But we don't have time for a 10-hour sermon here. Now, what we need to ask is, where do we go to prove that? Well, we got to go to the Bible. Now, the skeptics and say, well, hold on a second. You can't go to the Bible to prove the existence of God. I don't believe in the Bible. You can't go to the Bible to prove the existence of God. Or to answer this question of, you know, does the presence of pain and suffering prove that God doesn't exist? You can't go to the Bible. Now listen, if someone ever asks that, say, now wait a minute. Where do we learn, where do we hear that God is love? Well, from the Bible, place like 1 John 4 and verse 8, right? That's where we learn of God being loving. Where do we go to find out that God is all-powerful? So you get the idea, God's all-loving from the Bible. You can go to places, you know, Genesis chapter 17, just read that. Almighty God. Right here in Psalm 115 and verse 3, nothing from him can be restrained. He does whatever he pleases. Right? So you get the idea that God is love from the Bible. You get the idea that God is all-powerful from the Bible. So then the problem of evil, pain and suffering, as it's often presented, right, that the problem that is realistically framed is from what the Bible says about God. Right, so when we want to answer the question, does evil, pain, and suffering disprove the existence of God, we got to go to the Bible. Now, I'm going to suggest to you several reasons why pain and suffering exist. And let me state from the beginning here, the only real evil is sin. And sin is when you violate a command of God, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. But we're going to really focus in on the suffering and the pain aspect of this, in this lesson here. And let me say this. You know, if you haven't asked that question, why does God allow pain and suffering? If you haven't asked that question, let me tell you, you will. And you know what? I think that that's okay in a sense, as long as you're willing to seek and find the answer, what God has to say about it. And there's many reasons that we're going to see that, or several out of many, we're going to see why does God allow suffering. And, you know, and I want to answer that question for you. And listen, you know, if you're asking that question, you know, I'm not labeling you as a skeptic, by the way. Understand that. If you ask that question, that's okay, but you're going to seek and find the answer, right? Now, this lesson is more geared toward answering the skeptic, because we are talking about looking out with our faith, and this is a common question we're going to come up against. And so, you know, let me ask this of the skeptic here before we really start looking at these three main points here. You know, things in the world are so bad, right? Suffering is real. Pain is real. Pain and suffering are not good. But what we need to ask is, you know, not good compared to what? If there is no God. Right? There's no reference really to what is good and what is bad without the concept of God. Right? Then, you know, if there is no God, let's say pain and suffering prove the existence, there is no God. Let's say that for just a moment. Then what they define as pain and suffering couldn't be pain and suffering. Don't let me lose you here. Because if there is no God, then basically we are just a random, by chance collection of cells and molecules and atoms, right? And there's no purpose to anything. So then there's no standard of what's good and what's bad, right? Our existence is just existence. You see, without the concept of God who has endowed humanity with a sense of goodness, there is no standard of what's good and bad. So you can't say that pain is bad or the lack of pain is good, that suffering is bad or the lack of suffering is good, because there's no standard of what's good and what's bad. We would just be random collections of molecules and atoms and cells. So that's a question, I think a logical question we need to ask the skeptic. So number one here, I want you to think about, you know, why is there pain and suffering in this world? Number one, what we need to understand is God loves us and he gave us the freedom of choice. Right? He didn't create robots. He doesn't want robots to pre-program everything. How to live perfectly, anything like that, right? Our scripture reading earlier, you know, he would have had to create humans to respond just like robots without the ability to choose, but we well understand that a creator who did not give his creation the ability to choose would not be a loving creator, right? The Bible says God is love, and we would all understand that statement, if you take it to its logical conclusion, look at Genesis 2 again. God is love, and it allows in that love the freedom to choose. Adam and Eve, here's this tree. Don't eat of it. If you do, there's going to be consequences. You know, he could have made that tree like the giant sequoias and put all that fruit several hundred meters in the air, right? But he didn't. There it is. Don't eat it. All the other trees, you can eat of those. This one, don't eat it. Now, if a parent took a child, let's say, and locked him in a basement, you know, chained him to the wall, and never allowed that child to make any decision, would we describe that as being a loving parent? I would hope not. Right? You see, with love comes freedom to choose, and with the freedom to choose comes the opportunity to make wrong decisions. And then when wrong decisions are made, there's consequences. Right? It's just the way that God designed everything because he loves us. Right? God is love. Joshua 24 and verse 15, you need to choose today who it is you're going to serve. You know, think about this. What if making the right decisions and the wrong decisions ended in the same consequences? Or how about this? What if working for your money, not working for your money, and stealing all had the same end results? Now forget politicians in Washington, D.C. in this illustration here right now, right? But what if it all ended in the same results? What if lying and telling the truth, right, the exact same consequences, right? Would you be able to learn from that situation? Well, of course not. Right? You couldn't learn from a system like that. You couldn't learn to, you know, hone in on the good qualities and reject the bad qualities. Galatians 6 chapter, you know, when God designed humanity with the freedom of choice, he designed to make it so that choices would naturally bring about consequences. Right? Some consequences are good. When you make good choices, we all know some consequences are bad when we make bad choices. Right? Many times, those consequences are very damaging, very painful, and can bring on suffering. Right? Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, this principle of sowing and reaping is something that God has designed from the beginning. You put this seed in the ground, it's going to result in a very particular harvest. You put a good seed in the ground, you get a good harvest. Put a bad seed in the ground, God will make sure you have a bad harvest, right? You're going to reap what you sow. Now, let's talk about here some reasons why there's pain and suffering in this world. Now, have you ever made a wrong decision and suffered because of that? Right? I'll have to keep my hand raised. You know, what happens if someone gets in a car after consuming alcohol? They're going to have bad judgment. They're going to have a lot slower reactions. You know, they're going to lower inhibitions. You know, reflex, all of that gone. Now, let's say three men get in a vehicle and after consuming alcohol and they're driving and they wreck. One man is killed, one man's injured, and one man walks away. Now, is that God's fault? No, it's the fault of the drivers. Consuming alcohol and getting behind a vehicle. You know, and the other ones that weren't driving, they still made a wrong choice. They've been drinking, they got in the vehicle with someone that had been driving, right? We can't blame that on God. That's the driver's fault. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. You know what happens when a person makes a wrong decision? Well, oftentimes those wrong decisions, they lead to pain and suffering, right? 1 Peter 4 and verse 15. Let none of you suffer as an evildoer, as a thief, as a murderer, as a busybody, and other people's matters. We're being told, if you do these things, you will suffer consequences. Adam and Eve, kicked out of the garden. Now you're going to get old and die. Your bodies are going to age. Adam, now you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. Eve, pain in childbirth. Both of you, kicked out of the garden. Right? You made a bad choice. The consequences, God warned you. Right? Because choice is what God gives us because he loves us. Consequences is what God gives us so that we'll make the right choices. Now, admittedly, sometimes pain and suffering come into the lives of people because of, you know, not a decision they made, but a decision somebody else made. That same scenario, excuse me, let's say that those men are driving down the road having consumed alcohol, coming the other way. I saw this many times when I was deputy sheriff and a police officer. Someone coming, they're doing everything right. They're doing the speed limit. They're wearing a seatbelt. They have not consumed alcohol or anything to impair their judgment. They're doing everything right. But these individuals that made a wrong choice cross that yellow line. The person doing everything right, either injured or killed. Now, is that God's fault? No. They're suffering the consequences of bad decisions of somebody else. Now, what's the remedy for that? Well, God, yeah, I want freedom of choice, but, you know, I don't want it for anyone else. Or whatever group I pick, I don't want them to have freedom of choice. You know, they're not responsible like me. God, I really like my freedom of choice. Don't take that away, but take it away from others. Well, of course, that's not going to happen. That's ridiculous. So therefore, we live in a world that we have freedom of choice. I can make the wrong choice, bring pain and suffering to my life, and it might bring pain and suffering into your life. That's just the way it is. That's a principle God has established from the beginning because he loves us, and he wants pain and suffering and those consequences to hopefully move us in the right direction. A big mistake I think we make many times is we think that this is all there is when it's not. Next, I want you to consider here, sometimes pain and suffering come in the lives of individuals because of previous generations. Now, if you went over to India right now, you would see some of the greatest examples of poverty and starvation in the world. Right? Go over to Delhi, let's say. And you're going to see starving children everywhere. Malnourished, starving, homeless. You're going to see suffering like your mind couldn't imagine. Now, are they starving because that country doesn't have food? Well, no, not necessarily. But the thing about it is, as you're walking around looking at those starving children, you're probably going to have to walk around a bunch of cows, cattle everywhere. On the highways, on the roads, in the streets. You can't touch those cows. Now, why aren't those cows, that cattle, slaughtered to feed those starving children? Well, because many, many, many generations before, a false idea, false teaching took hold. Where today, you can't take that cow and slaughter it to feed that starving child because that cow is the incarnate ancestor of that starving child. So don't you touch that cow. It's more important than that starving child. You see, previous generations can cause later generations to suffer. That's just the way it is. Now, we've been blessed so far because our previous generations left us a form of government that kept us healthy and safe and strong, and we're benefiting from our forefathers and the actions that they took. Let me throw this warning out there. We need to hold on to that if we want our next generations to profit also. The mistakes we make today, or the lack of things that we should have done today, they're going to suffer for that, or they're going to benefit. Right? So sometimes suffering and pain in this world exist because of bad choices by me, bad choices by other individuals, or just simply previous generations have brought about pain and suffering as we see it today. Well, I'm going to pick up the pace here, move on to this next one. As we think about this final one here, and that's natural laws. Romans, the first chapter, if you would, I want you to read verse 20 with me. You see, natural laws dictate everything that goes on around us in a very real sense. You know, when you fly a plane, natural laws had to be studied to get that hunk of metal in the sky to go from point A to point B, right? Natural laws. Men figured out those natural laws are constant. And men studied that and figured it out. And now we use that to our advantage. Now, if you walk across a highway and you step in front of an 18-wheeler doing 70, there's going to be consequences to that, right? Now, your understanding of natural law is going to keep you from making that bad decision. Now, you might not understand Newton's second law of motion concerning kinetic energy, but you understand if you step in front of that 18-wheeler doing 70, bad things are going to happen, right? And so we operate with an understanding of natural laws. Don't touch that hot stove. Why? It's going to hurt. And so we use natural laws to our benefit, and we are able to live. You know, we use natural laws to cook, right? To fly, to drive, to eat, everything that we do. And when those natural laws go against us, you know, when those natural laws go against the skeptic, they scream, well, there must not be a loving God, right? A false, ridiculous accusation against God, right? Because he allowed, you know, that those natural laws bring pain in their life, you know, they get upset, right? Even though they take advantage and they appreciate those natural laws and all other areas of life. You see, you can't have it both ways. Right? Some people get angry at God. You can't have it both ways. Take advantage of his natural law for everything, but then when that natural law brings pain or suffering in life, you can't say, hey, you know, that's unfair. You know, God must not exist or he's not all loving. You know, one of the reasons that we know God exists is because there are natural laws. You know, and they're evident all around us. You know, suppose we lived in a world where, you know, we could never count on gravity. How could you live like that? Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, that would be the natural laws, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Let's say a young child walks out in the middle of the street. Parents aren't paying attention. Young child walks out in the middle of the street, and here comes a teenage boy driving, going 20 over the speed limit, texting on his phone. What's going to happen when that vehicle hits that child? That child's probably going to die or be injured greatly. Now, according to the skeptic's argument, there must not be a God because he didn't prevent that. So you want God to what? Suspend the laws of kinetic energy or gravity in that situation when that child's about to be hurt, when pain and suffering are about to come in the lives of an individual? So would he suspend natural laws just on that street? You know, in that geographic area, that hemisphere? That doesn't make any sense. God put natural laws in place, and sometimes those natural laws bring pain and suffering into our lives. You know, what kind of world would it be if you couldn't depend on natural laws? You know, if God's going to suspend gravity all the time to protect somebody, you know, I couldn't just walk. You know, is gravity going to bring my footstep down or not? I don't know. You can't live like that. You couldn't live in a world like that. Because God suspends a natural law every time suffering or pain is going to come into the life of somebody. You know, and sometimes when natural law comes into play, pain and suffering follow. You know, and this could be natural disasters, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes. You know, a lot of people choose to live on the beach, knowing there's a higher a likelihood of a hurricane coming. Now, they're willing to exchange the beauty of living on a beach with the chance of being hit by a hurricane, and when a hurricane comes, you can't say, God must not love me, bringing this pain and suffering in my life. Or men build skyscrapers on known earthquake fault lines. When an earthquake hits, is that God's fault? No, that's just natural laws. It's just part of the process God has put into place. So here's a question. Does pain and suffering, does its existence prove that God doesn't exist? Well, the answer is no. Because here's the bottom line. Sometimes suffering, you know, I've suffered many times, you know, looking back, you know, sometimes suffering is very beneficial. I can now see that, know, I didn't see it when it was happening. Go back to Psalm 119, if you would, real quick here. You know, I understand it now. See, sometimes suffering can help develop qualities that in the absence of suffering would never be developed. Right, David here, Psalm 119, starting about verse 67, David said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." But then he goes on to say, "After I was afflicted, I went back to the Word, I went back to God." You know, sometimes suffering in this life causes us to develop characteristics that are beneficial and characteristics that are worthy of commendation. And only pain and suffering is going to do that for us, to refine us. You know, are there some benefits to pain and suffering? You bet there is. Shortness of breath. Your left arm is getting numb. You feel some tightness in your chest. That's telling you something, isn't it? You better get to a hospital. Right? Pain and suffering have benefits. Now, you might think, well, I don't want to live in a world with pain and suffering. It'd be better if there was no pain and suffering. I don't think so. I don't think you would really want that. You see, pain and suffering causes us to take appropriate action. It literally motivates us. You know, I don't let my children do certain things because I love them. I got a fear of pain and suffering, not only in my life, but especially theirs. Right? Pain and suffering can develop good qualities, and it can motivate us to do the right things and keep us from doing the wrong things. Again, don't touch the stove. It's hot. Have you ever touched something that's very hot? I bet you're more careful the next time. I touched a very hot muffler on a lawnmower once. Now, what do I do very carefully from that point on? That was 25 years ago. I remember that pain, and I'm more careful. Pain teaches you something, doesn't it? Pain has benefits, especially in a spiritual sense. The Bible says about Jesus that though he was a son, he learned obedience by what? By the things which he suffered. Then in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience," or endurance. I want to read to you two more passages out of the book of Romans, and then the lesson is yours. In Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 3 through 5. Well, let me read verses 1 through 5. Well, we're told about the benefits of being justified by God, and among many benefits, one of those is tribulations. You know, it sounds counterintuitive sometimes. Through pain and suffering here. Read it with me, verses 1 through 5. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations." Why, Paul? He says, because it's going to develop good qualities in you. Those qualities that will move you toward the right end. You know, living out that justification in your life. You know, it's going to motivate you to live within the reach of the grace of God, which is the blood of Christ. So he says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or endurance. And perseverance develops character, and character, that's going to develop hope. And hope, the kind of hope we're talking about, is a hope that does not disappoint. A confident expectation in the promises of my God. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God, love God gave us freedom of choice to choose Him or not. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" To prove the statement and the power of God's love, the very next verse, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things. And he goes on from there to verse 39, talking about what we have in Christ. What we have is more powerful than pain and suffering can remove. God's not going to steal away your salvation. He won't do that. Jesus won't. Satan can't. Only we can remove ourselves, separate ourselves from the love of God. And many times, unfortunately, pain and suffering does that. But he says, nothing can separate you from the love of God through Jesus Christ. This morning, if you're here and you're subject to the invitation call that's available, if you need to put on Christ in baptism, we'd love to help you with that. Maybe you've done that, but you've fallen away. Maybe it felt like the pain and the suffering were too much, and you separated yourself from God. We're happy that you're here this morning, because that's given you an opportunity to come back to God. If we can pray for you, pray with you, we'd love to do that. If there's something you need to bring before the church because it was a public matter, we'll do that. If not, go to God right now, you and God, and say that prayer of repentance and get right with God. This morning, if we can help you in any way be reconciled to God, would you please let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.